have an army. We have a Hulk.
And welcome to We Have a Hulk Pod, episode 78. I am your host, Nicola.
And I am your host, also host, Chris.
also host. We have got a new setup, so let us know if it sounds any different or any better.
Or any worse.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of intriguing. So, Chris, how are you today?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm quite looking forward to our jack of potatoes in the oven.
Yeah. That's funny. Yep.
Yeah. Right, so what are we going to be talking about in this episode then?
Right, we got Home of the Hulks.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Lost in Space.
Yes.
We're doing an interview.
Yep, with Sir Darius Blaine, who plays the young Fridge in Jumanji, and he's also starring in the remake of Charmed.
And what else? Oh.
Hulk Topics. Yes. Which is your pick this week, isn't it? Pretty much.
Yeah, so I think we should get really deep with our Hulk Topics. What do you think? What do you think, guys?
Put them at the end of the episode, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, this week we're going to be talking about which robot you'd pick from TV and film to be your pet slash protector. Kind of going in the vein of, you know, Lost in Space.
Sure.
So, at home with the Hulks, what have we been watching, doing, reading, playing?
Watching, doing, reading. So we've seen some more Legion.
Yes. It might be my favourite TV show at the moment.
It's definitely up there for me. Yeah.
I think it might have knocked Game of Thrones off as like the top, top. I know. But then Game of Thrones will come back and then I'll be like, actually.
Yeah. I'm like that. Yeah. Yeah. Some sort of time sort of thing.
So fickle.
Yeah. It's just what's been on most recently you kind of remember the strongest.
I think.
We've also watched Lost in Space, the whole of it.
Obviously, yes. So we watched it, I think, over the space of 3 days.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
No.
I mean, it's only 10 episodes. It's not a long season, really, is it? That's good.
Yeah.
What
spoilers.
Else
have we done? I went to Leamington Comic Con on Saturday. Did a couple of interviews with Al Ewing, who is a writer for Marvel, and also Sarah Grayley, who does Lil Poopy Superstar from Rick and Morty comics. It was pretty good. I watched a podcast live panel, which I've not seen before, but it's pretty much the same as just listening to a podcast. But yeah.
Seeing them in flesh.
Yeah. And that was the Awesome Comics podcast. And then we just walked around the park in Leamington for a bit because it's super nice there.
Yeah.
It was a lovely day.
It was a great day. We haven't seen one since, have we?
No. But apparently this week's supposed to be like in the 20s, like later on. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
We also went and watched James and the Giant Peach at Ruby Theatre. What did you think of
that? That was actually really good. I mean, I was a bit worried when it started off.
Yeah.
It's quite a small room, isn't it? And immediately someone comes up the aisle and shouting.
Oh no.
That's not great. But then it got really good. And it was like quite high production values, I thought. And I enjoyed it. What about you?
Yeah. I thought it was much better than it might have been, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Rugby Theatre. I used to go there when I was a kid and watch like pantomimes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, oh...
Yeah, pantomime is like a lower level.
Well, maybe.
I thought it was good.
I don't know if you noticed, but at one point they tried to do like the Lion King. And then they things that they were waving
dangerously
around.
Close to our heads.
Thank you. You noticed that too. Yes. I was sitting there like ducking.
Just in my peripheral vision, I could see it was going really close to our heads. But I didn't want to move because I didn't want to be rude.
I think I did a couple of, like, you know, when you kind of... Twitch.
It's classic you, actually. You always twitch at things.
I do feel bad though, because this little boy was trying to wave the steagle around on like a prop thing. And you could tell it was probably quite heavy after a while.
Yeah.
And he kept like going lower and lower, and I was like, no.
Yep.
Oh. So on Sunday we had the community day in Pokemon Go, and this was for Mareep. So I don't think anyone was pretty too excited about this
one. But we did need it. I needed my Ampharos or whatever.
I walked my Ampharos for ages.
That's the problem with these things. You do the work and then they're like, oh, by the way, free Ampharos.
Yeah, you're like, no. Same with Jatini. Though I was really glad about that. I already had Dragonite, but I think a lot of people walked that as well.
Yeah, to be fair, it was fun at the time though.
Yeah. Right?
It's a bit annoying to go, oh, so I could have got that really easily. But at the same time, you did enjoy the processes of getting that. So
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, that was pretty much it for the weekend. Last week I watched Isle of Dogs. Is it Isle of Dogs or Islands of Dogs?
It's Isle of Dogs.
Yeah, the Wes Anderson one.
I think there's an actual Isle of Dogs somewhere, isn't there?
I know there's one of cats and there's one of rabbits. I really want to go to the rabbit one. I think it's in Japan or something.
I don't think the Isle of Dogs actually has any dogs on it. It's just called that.
Lies.
Isn't it in London?
Anyway. You got me excited then.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was really good. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend seeing that.
You're now listening to us in our new studio, which is probably more echoey.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Two microphones,
some screens and stuff. We're going to put some stuff on the back wall.
Yes.
And make it look a bit more like a set.
Some comics and stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll look good. We're hoping to do more YouTube videos at some point.
Yeah. I think we'll do just like 10-minute cuts of our
podcast
and stuff like that.
The ultimate mix.
Just like a small thing to throw up on YouTube.
Throw up. Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. I have decided to try and go dairy-free.
Oh, yeah.
So day two of sort of vegan is.
So vegan, so it's not really vegan. It's dairy free, or it is vegan.
Well, I don't know.
What do you call yourself?
I don't know what my identity is. I don't know. Well, I'm trying to just do dairy free at the start and then win myself into vegan because I think eggs, I like omelets.
Yeah.
And
I like eggs. I like cheese.
Yeah, cheese is the big thing.
I couldn't do it.
The milk thing's fine because I think oat milk is absolutely okay. I don't really notice the difference all that much in porridge. But cheese is the big one.
That's the big one.
I bought a vegan pizza, which is also gluten-free. So I'm thinking, will this taste of anything?
It's just cardboard. Just coloured cardboard.
A big concern. So I will come back next week. I will update you guys on my cardboard pizza.
Yes. We're also going to Amsterdam, aren't we?
Yes.
In a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going with someone who is halal.
Ooh, yes. That's going to be interesting.
So it's going to be halal, gluten-free, and vegan.
Vegan-ish.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
You have to do a lot of research.
I feel like when I go and eat out, it's probably going to be too hard to do that. So I'll probably just do vegetarian.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I don't know. Is that part-time? Yeah, part-time. I don't know.
Part-time vegan.
Yeah. I'm weaning myself into it.
At least you're sometime vegan. I think that's
most
positive.
Time vegan.
I don't really have an issue with it personally. Like, what is your issue with cheese and dairy?
It's the cows.
It's the cows.
The cows.
The pork cows.
No, not the pork. Wow. It's more the environmental sort of effect with all the methane. And even though you think that's not real.
Well, it's already in the atmosphere, right? They already ate it out of the grass or whatever. It's already in the circulation of the atmosphere. Like it goes into plants and then it gets eaten and it comes back into the atmosphere. The real problem is when you dig it out of the ground and you burn it, like it's been in the ground for millions of years or whatever, that's when you're putting it back into the atmosphere and then it becomes part of the cycle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my feeling on it. Anyway.
Interesting. Let us know what your feelings are. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Amsterdam, but we're going to see Avengers Infinity War the night before Amsterdam, so I'm super excited for next week. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, going to be super pumped going to Amsterdam. Or just completely destroyed.
Maybe a mix of both.
Yeah.
It's like been 10 years to this moment. And then like Cap's going to die. Iron Man's going to die. If Iron Man dies, I think you'll cry.
I'm actually going to cry in the cinema. I'm just going to be bawling my eyes out. I'm sorry.
We won't look at each other. It's fine.
We'll have to be like hugging and holding hands.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh, anyway, yeah, I think that's pretty much everything we've been up to.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's kick it off with the Lost in Space review.
Yes. So this week we're reviewing Lost in Space, which has just come to Netflix, which I wasn't expecting, which was interesting. So I got some background trivia for you.
Okay, hit me up.
So, yeah, it was originally a US science fiction TV show that aired 83 episodes.
83?
Yeah, between 1965 and 1968. So it's very old.
Very, very old.
It later turned into a film in 1998.
Yep.
With Joey.
Oh, And Gary Oldman, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It was the doctor guy.
Yeah. They already tried to make a TV show in 2004.
Oh.
But it wasn't picked up.
Boo. Okay.
But then the producers of Battlestar Galactica bought the sets and used them for Battlestar Pegasus, which was the second most featured Battlestar on that show, FYI.
okay, is that shit?
Yeah. Okay. It's the second Battlestar. So you had Galactica, and then like occasionally they'd meet another Battlestar that was sort of somehow still surviving.
It sounds quite aggressive. Battlestar.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Were they peaceful people?
They did a lot of firing missiles and stuff, so okay. Probably not really. Yeah, so thoughts going in. Thoughts before you saw it. What did you think?
Really? They were making this?
Fair enough. Yeah.
I remember the 98 film. I remember I enjoyed it, but it wasn't great and it wasn't particularly memorable. I remember Joey and I obviously remember Gary Oldman and the little alien thing that was super cute, but I didn't remember the robot. I had to go back and Google
really?
It.
Okay.
I just
it was quite like large chunky thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I guess it looks a bit more like the original kind of. So yeah, I kind of thought like I didn't really have any, like usually I see something come out like this and I'm like, oh, I'm worried that they're gonna ruin it.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? But okay. I didn't, because I don't really know this.
I don't remember the 60s
right,
show
I've never
at
seen
all.
That at yeah. all. But I did see the movie and I kind of liked the movie. It was all right. It wasn't
great. It wasn't great, but
it was fine. I enjoyed it. I didn't even hear about this until like a couple of weeks ago, I don't think.
Same here, actually. Out, yeah, so there wasn't much like marketing.
Like, surprise!
Yeah, but they did that with Cloverfield Paradox, didn't they? Oh, hi guys, it's now here.
Oh, by the way. So I wasn't like concerned going in or anything. And I really love sci-fi, so I kind of saw it as like a bonus.
Okay.
It's like, oh, surprise, bonus show. So yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts after seeing it, kind of general feelings?
I've written quite a few things, so I'll quickly go through them if that's okay. Actually really enjoyed it and was pretty surprised at how much I did.
Yeah.
Great to see more sci-fi and space adventures, because you don't get a lot of them anymore, really, do you? We've had Alter Carbon lately, and I think the closest film we've had has been like The Martian.
Yes.
Which, yeah, I can kind of...
It's kind of, yeah, on that kind
the
of same
kind of, yeah. Wasn't quite sure about the robot at the start, but really came to really love him.
Sure.
At the end. Yeah, that was really great. Really great performances, good characters, definitely had some favourites, which we'll talk about later. Mm. Gripping, I thought, in some places. Quite a lot of drama, but tolerable drama.
Yeah, it wasn't like teenage drama.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pretty emotional in parts, actually. There was a couple of parts I was a bit like...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
There were definitely one I think we'll probably talk about later. I felt like the series felt like a good length as well. There were like 10 episodes. It didn't feel like too long or anything.
Right.
Great story, really great final, but maybe a little predictable in places.
Yes, we'll talk about that
okay.
in the story section for sure.
Red shirt.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. So for me, I really loved it. It was like a surprise, enjoyable thing that happened.
Like
a nice birthday
surprise.
Yeah. I love that they kind of, it's like that whole sci-fi where they're solving problems on the go and like things are happening and they're having to deal with it. And it's really cool.
Science, bitch.
Yeah. I love that there's still a lot we don't know.
Yes.
Even having seen the season.
I've written this too.
Yeah, you've written this. Good. Yeah, it grabbed me. It kept my interest. And it's kind of teased me going forward. So I'm into it. Let's see where it goes.
Okay.
A few of my positives. I really enjoyed the characters. The sets look great. Mm. I really loved like some of the locations where they'd actually shot.
Where did they
really
film
great.
This?
I know. It looks like Alaska or like, it's probably Canada.
I was thinking like Canada or New Zealand or maybe Hawaii.
I think probably
those amazing
Canada.
Places.
I mean, they usually record these things in like Vancouver or something, don't they?
True.
So it wouldn't be too far. Like they could take a truck out there.
Yeah.
That would be a thing. The CGI was actually pretty good. I really liked the weather and like the CGI parts of the robot were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And the like space stuff was great. The robot had like, I liked the robot's face because it wasn't too human and stuff. And yet it kind of gave you some feeling like there was some life behind it, which
was
really
weird.
Clever.
Yeah. I don't know how they didn't manage to do that.
But also they had like a prosthetics version of the robot, which was also cool because he wasn't CG all the time.
Right, yeah.
So that was cool. And the soundtrack was good as well.
we'll
talk
about
that
later.
Yeah. I just have a few negatives.
Okay.
Sorry. The prosthetic version of the robot, his hands looked a bit weird.
Yeah.
Like, he was really claw-like.
Seven fingers.
It just looked like they were going in different directions.
Crabby,
quite right.
Sort of.
Yeah. Not much else, actually.
Oh, wow.
Really.
That's good for you.
It was maybe a little bit predictable in places, like you said.
Yeah.
But I actually think you need some predictability if you're going with these kind of tropes, okay. Maybe,
yeah.
Just to kind of keep the whole thing going.
Yeah.
But then having said that, I was surprised in some places. So
yes, it was a good balance.
Yeah, it was a good balance.
Yeah.
Ultimately. So not a negative in the end. Yeah, that's it. That's
that
my
was
general
our
thoughts.
Spoiler-free general thoughts.
Indeed.
Do we go into spoilers now, or I just want to
let's
warn.
Let's see how we go. Let's see
okay.
How we go.
Okay. So performances and characters.
So generally, what did you think about the performances?
I thought the main characters were really good, but obviously there were quite a few red shirts that you didn't really know their names, and they were just kind of in the background, and you're like, oh.
It's true. Yeah, I found myself likening the cast to other actors, which was weird.
Yeah.
Like, they all kind of reminded me of other
someone
people,
else.
Which was strange. And yet they were all really good in their own
right. Yeah.
So I don't know if that was intentional or if like it's just some random thing that I picked up.
Yeah, the main guy, I thought he was actually from Homeland.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't. He's from, he from Die Another Day? He was a villain in a Bond film.
Okay, I haven't actually looked up.
I think he's been in Black Sails or something. Yeah, anyway, sorry. Yeah.
I really liked how defined the characters were. They each had their own very strongly defined character, which was cool. And they were sort of almost stereotypical, but done in a way where they had some growth throughout the season, which
really?
I liked.
Okay. I
you didn't find that?
No, I feel like the Robinsons, they were actually quite, like, they weren't your stereotypical family. They were sort of broken.
Yeah,
in
the
a way,
family and unit wasn't stereotypical family.
And the characters weren't that stereotypical. Like, it wasn't... It wasn't
character
like,
had, like, a stereotype.
Okay. Right. I don't feel like it was, like, your stereotypical American family.
No,
like, your nuclear sort of...
No. So, it wasn't, like, an ordinary... I mean, they were, like, rocket scientists and shit,
exactly.
Right? So, yes. But, yeah. Okay. So, what did you think of Molly Parker? Maureen Robinson.
So, the mum.
Yes. The mum.
I thought she was really, really great. She was obviously smart on one hand, but then she was, like, super maternal on the other hand.
Yeah. She was, like, the protective mother type,
yes,
but also the scientist,
yeah, which is great to see. Thank you very much, Netflix.
That's true. That's good. That's
good. Progression.
Toby Stevens, John Robinson.
Wow, I feel like I didn't warm to him as much as Maureen,
right?
Because obviously it was kind of going from her perspective, I felt a little bit, and obviously their marriage was a little bit sort of
broken.
Yeah. So
I mean, he played the part of the soldier, right?
Yes, definitely.
And so I think that's the dynamic they were going for there.
Yeah, which made sense. He was definitely the action man, sort of.
Right, and he was in it to save the world.
Yeah.
At the cost of everything else, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Maxwell Jenkins, Will Robinson.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger, Will Robinson.
I thought it was adorable. It was a bit irritating in places, but sweet on the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like the smart, scrawny child.
Yes. And I loved him.
Archetype.
Him and the robot. They were super cute.
Yeah. I liked the relationship that they formed.
Yes.
That's cool. Taylor Russell, so Judy Robinson.
Which one, was she the doctor?
She's the older one, I think, the doctor, the medic.
Yeah. She definitely went through an arc.
Yeah.
I thought she was really good. I think she was in a prime in the first episode, and from then on out, it kind of moulded her as the character throughout the whole series.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, she had some growth because of what she had to deal with and in her job, in her role. Mm-hmm. As the medic.
Yes. At 18.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mina Sandoval, Penny Robinson.
Penny. We didn't really get much of Penny, to be honest, did we?
I think we got enough of Penny, you know?
Okay.
I think she was the teenager.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
So she was the kind of normal one in the group, which is the same as in the film, I guess, kind of. Although
she's
was a bit
the one
of an
who had
oddball.
The alien in the film, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I missed the alien. When was the alien?
Maybe we'll find an alien somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she was right. She definitely was the teenager.
Yeah, but like you say, she was still kind of a fairly evolved teenager.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? She didn't really get on with her sister very much, but you could tell, like, she did love her.
Yeah.
There were scenes where, you know, very typical sort of sibling, not rivalry, but then
sibling hatred.
Yeah, sibling hatred, and then when anything bad happened, it was all,
they would come together. And,
which was quite nice.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Don?
Don West. Ignacio Sericcio?
Okay.
So he's the lovable scoundrel type.
Yes.
The Han Solo.
Han Solo / Poe Dameron.
Poe Dameron type, yeah.
Joey.
Can we mention his pet?
Well, yeah.
It's kind of a spoiler. We'll leave it. Is it? We'll leave it.
Okay. When you see it, let us know.
You'll know. You'll know. I really like his character.
Yeah.
They all have very defined characters, which I like.
He's so much charisma. He was really funny. Just very sarcastic as well, which I quite enjoyed.
Yeah,
really and his relationship with Judy was quite interesting.
Mm.
They had an interesting episode.
Yeah. I think everyone's sort of developing their relationships and stuff, which is cool. Parker Posey, June Harris / Dr. Smith.
Wow. Many things we can talk about.
Yeah.
I thought she was fantastic. She played the bad person very, very well.
Yeah.
She was clearly quite psychotic.
Yeah, she was super sinister. Yeah.
But the thing was, like, what were her motivations? Like, they didn't...
I quite like that because it's like she is sinister, but she's not over villainy. Like, she's not overly villainy. She's not wearing a cloak or anything. Yeah, exactly.
She's not wearing a cloak.
right. But she's kind of... You don't really know where you stand with her. She's kind of sinister.
She's very manipulative as well.
Exactly is she? Yeah, she's manipulative. She's manipulative.
Yeah.
She's maybe a little bit crazy.
Yeah, probably full-blown crazy.
Probably full-blown crazy.
But she's very adaptable, which is the quite adaptable. Scary thing. She's
very evolved in that sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is kind of scary. Mm. You're right. She's very self-serving. Kind of seems like she has bigger motives, though. Does she? Or doesn't she? Or is she literally just kind of playing the Darwinian game? I don't know.
I don't think that has so many questions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I like that. It's good.
Victor.
Which
super
Victor?
Briefly. This is a thing. You have the main character you really and then Victor was the leader, the kind of dickish one.
British.
Okay.
So that was obvious.
Thanks, Americans.
I enjoyed his character. I thought, again, he was kind of like the... I'm in charge here.
Yeah, he was the sort of leader role.
And yet when things go wrong, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I guess that's just how they see it.
My other favourite, though, was Hiroko, the scientist guy. He was The Man in the High Castle.
Yes.
There were a lot of people that looked like other people, but maybe were in things.
I think he's one that actually was that guy.
Yeah, I know. I did have a look. Yeah.
What about the robot, Brian Steele?
How could I forget the robot? I'm literally... he was my best bit, I think.
Okay.
Favourite character.
I enjoyed the robot,
Which is weird, because it doesn't actually say anything other than, obviously, Danger and Danger Will Robinson.
Yeah, I think somehow they portrayed emotion in the sense that you kind of give it emotion, because it has the face things, but you kind of have to...
Interpret
it, and you kind of project onto it kind of how it's feeling, almost. I really liked... It was really clever how they did his face. The Uncanny Valley doesn't come into it, because it has no eyes, you know?
Uncanny Valley?
Yeah, you know, Nez chatting, we're talking about it in their episode, where it's like, eyes and stuff, if it's not right... You can tell it's fake.
This is something you go on about quite a lot.
I do.
Like
I do,
CGI really and faces. Yeah. Okay, got you.
It's something that really annoys me, but actually it really worked in this.
Well, just having like a plain fake. Yeah, it worked. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was also kind of like a solid robot. It wasn't, I mean, you'd expect that from a robot, but it wasn't like super organic or anything. Okay. Although sometimes it did move a little bit weirdly.
Yeah, it had two stages as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to go too much into.
Right.
But I thought both were pretty... realistic and
I like the styling of it. It gives you some kind of clues to its creators, perhaps.
Ooh.
So that's cool.
Yes. I feel like that was pretty spoiler free. Story.
So basically, it's just like a constant battle for survival.
Yes.
Right? For survival. So they're constantly like fighting elements and the native wildlife and they're looking for fuel and stuff. Yeah. And so it's kind of just like a Darwinian fight for survival kind of thing, which I like. Comes back to the whole science. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the whole science thing. And they're fixing things. They're working out how to survive, which is cool. I think it's a gold mine because... They're like in space, they're going to a planet. There may be other planets, we don't know. So there's like all this
endless possibilities,
right? It's great. I think when they want to lay off the kind of environmental stuff for a moment and kind of give you some respite, they have Dr. Smith to fall back on as their kind of like villain, as their
behind the scenes sort of tweaking things.
Causing problems in the background. So that's like another thread for them to tug on, which is cool. And
I feel like the Murphy's Law came very much into this.
Okay, explain.
So anything that can go wrong will go wrong. So yeah, pretty much throughout it, if one thing went wrong and then they kind of fixed it, some, like two other things would like go wrong.
Cascading effect of you fix one thing, something else breaks. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of true in real life, generally, I think.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a great story. It did keep me gripped throughout the whole series. Definitely. And I love the sci-fi elements. I love the kind of beastie elements. Yeah, I like how they incorporated quite a lot of it. Also, the family elements were actually quite interesting. Normally, I'm a bit like drama, but I
felt deep and it felt genuine, which is definitely the problem with drama. Like, you can just make something overly dramatic, but this felt genuine, which I like.
And I think that's pretty much all we can say for non-spoilers. Probably, yeah. So, do we go to spoiler land now?
Maybe let's talk about visuals. Special effects, visuals and soundtrack,
and then
we
spoilers.
Can do like a little spoiler section at the end. So visual/special effects then.
I said it looked incredible. Where did they film it? I want to go there.
Or possibly back there, depending on where
we're going. If it was Canada. I think the set, I pretty much agreed with what you said. Suits, sets, vehicles, all look the part. They look fantastic. Yeah. And they felt genuine and real, like they actually built most of them.
Yeah.
And it just felt really organic and believable.
There was one part, though, that I wasn't... Like, they built a tower.
Oh,
it looked like they just slapped it together. Yeah. Kind of like, I'm sure they would have brought some sort of scaffolding or something, some lightweight scaffolding for space travel, you know?
Okay. Where,
rather than, like, building this thing that looked like it was barely worth building it at all. Like, just put the thing on the ground. It would have done the same thing. But, yeah, otherwise.
A very small, minute element.
Yeah, just a very small thing. Very small thing. If I had to pick on something,
that's it would be the tower.
Yeah. What about the intro? Did you like the intro?
I took about 3 or 4 episodes to get an intro.
Yeah, it was weird.
No, I did not enjoy this intro.
It's interesting. It kind of reminded me of Star Trek Enterprise's intro. My God. What is happening?
No, I can see what you're doing, and that's why I didn't enjoy it very much. It felt too American for me, about very patriotic and America. So, yeah.
Maybe. I didn't get that patriotic vibe, but I did get the kind of inspiring. We're going to space, guys, kind of vibe. Right. We're going to get there.
It felt a little cheesy for me, okay?
Maybe a little cheesy, sure. But I like a little cheese.
Okay, so. Cheese with your pie.
Yeah, sets, locations, great. Yeah.
Robot,
space
great.
Stuff, robot, ship stuff.
Ship
the,
stuff.
The ships and vehicles
stuff.
And everything look great. Yeah. Alien styling. Yeah, what about the Resolute, though?
You didn't really see too much of it.
Didn't see too much of it, did you? Hmm. Kind of got glimpses of it in the background stuff. You might have got a few like angles of it close up
like
without really realizing.
Angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I like the name. They
the
even
Resolute.
Mentioned it in the show, didn't they? They were like, that's a cool name. Which is fair because it's kind of
I didn't like design wise, I didn't quite understand the design of it.
Yeah.
It's quite circular.
Yeah, I think they have like rings, so they rotate the rings and it creates like an artificial gravity so you can walk around the ring.
Okay.
It's kind of like a space 2001 Space Odyssey kind of thing.
Right.
Just go, and it's just like really big,
yeah,
I think.
Quite
the dry. Scale was cool, and then you had the little Jupiter 2s and Jupiter 4s or whatever coming off it. Yeah, okay, soundtrack.
Super American. It was awful.
Awful, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. Did you like it or not?
Well, there were two distinct themes, right? So there was the intro, and then there was like the main theme. I enjoyed the main theme. It felt very Avengers-esque, which I really enjoyed. But I didn't like the intro. It felt very Star Trek Enterprise. And it just screamed like America. And
America. No, I really liked it.
Okay.
We talked about this, but I really liked the superhero-y thing that they had going on. Had like an Avengers thing, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
It also kind of felt a little bit like Jurassic Park and stuff at times. And I was actually sitting there kind of humming to myself at points. Literally like the Avengers theme tune and the Jurassic Park theme tune.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know if they intended that, but yeah. I liked it.
Fair enough. So, I think that was pretty much everything that we can discuss without spoiling anything.
Yes.
I think that was pretty well done.
I think so.
Give us
a pat on the back, guys, for that one.
So, from here on out, have a spoil klaxon. Do you have one for me?
Whoop, whoop, whoop. No, never mind.
Okay, so if you haven't seen it yet, it's safe to say that we pretty much highly recommend watching this, so go and watch it, let us know what you think, and then listen to the rest of the review.
Sure.
So, spoiler talk, ending.
Ending.
Questions.
Questions.
So many questions.
Well, what episode was it when the thing exploded?
The thing exploded. Oh, I think that was episode 8. Yeah.
Because we weren't expecting that. We were like, oh, this is going to go exactly how it usually goes. Yeah. Sci-fi television. They're going to solve the day.
Save the day.
The dad character. Yes. The soldier.
And the Joey
scoundrel.
And the scoundrel, yeah.
Yeah. To
so John and Don. Yeah. John and Don.
John and Don were going up in the spaceship. And they were trying to contact the Resolute.
Yes. Because they were going to leave in like 24 hours or something, weren't they?
They were like, there was time pressure.
Yeah.
If they'd waited an hour, they would have found the fuel they needed to go up. So they didn't need to go.
From the bat poop.
So that's kind of like a sad thing straight off the bat.
Yeah, true.
And then there's so many like variables when they're going up. Because they had so little fuel, they had to remove lots of parts of the ship that they needed. And then Dr. Smith knocks out the lady that's trying to help them, and then they explode.
Yeah. And then it ends there, right? Yeah. And we're like...
And that's the moment where you're like...
What?
I hate you, Dr. Smith. You are an awful person. Yeah.
If you just left her for like 20 more seconds, it would have been fine. But no, you had to go and hit her over the head. You horrible witchy witch. And they just like cut to black and you're like, we turn around to each other and we're like, did they just kill off the two main characters?
I really like those two characters as well. Yeah, so that was kind of like, what?
What is happening?
But no, obviously they came back.
Thank goodness. I don't know if I could have handled that.
This like tiny bit of spacecraft that was left, just like a little room.
They were like clinging onto it.
It's kind of funny, but I thought it was fine. I enjoyed it. And they ultimately got saved, so that was good.
Yeah.
So the very end then, what happened at the very end?
So they were about to get picked up by the Resolute. The Resolute was coming towards them.
Yep.
But then they had the robots want their engine back.
Yeah, which they've been wanting back the whole time, it seems. Yes.
So they kind of came on, attacked them. The nice robot sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
But the nasty robot started like tentacles. What would you call those things?
Legs.
So it basically, it was still there. And then it like transported them into some weird hyperspace thing into the danger planet that Will had previously seen.
Yes. So I don't think it was that alien.
Oh, okay.
I think good robot tackled bad robot and they hurtled back towards the planet. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to come back though. So
I
they
hope
must
so.
Have held on or something.
Yeah.
But it was the alien engine thing. It was the alien engine thing that they brought on board.
Oh, that.
Because it seems like Dr. Smith had loaded it onto the bottom of the thing, done it itself.
Oh,
we don't know. But it had got back onto the ship somehow without anyone noticing.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of putting its little tentacles thing into the ship and taking it over. And then it kind of warps
dragged them. Yeah.
Or something back to home planet.
The double planet thing we saw that the robot drew.
Yeah.
But is that the robot's planet or is that the alien's planet that designed the robots?
I think it's the alien's planet that designed the robots. Ooh. And I think he knows that they're dangerous.
Yeah.
Because he was like, danger. So I think the robot's going to want to get back to help them out because he's going to be like, well, Robinson, I must save you.
But questions.
Questions.
We'll talk about them super quickly. So we had more about the robots, the alien engine.
Yep.
The crash on Earth called the Christmas Star.
Yep.
That was obviously a big cover-up for the alien tech coming.
Yeah.
The attack on the Resolute. So that was obviously the robot coming to get the engine back.
Yeah.
Because they like covered that up, didn't they? And the finale, the new planet, the danger planet. Ooh, so many things.
Quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next season. I mean, and what's his name? Don West. His pet was the chicken.
Yes. Can't forget the chicken. It was really sweet, actually.
Yeah, he's kind of quite a loving guy.
Yeah.
Which is strange, but I did notice one of the lines in it was like, morals and something is moral and something is illegal. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
The mum said that at one point, which I thought was quite powerful.
Hmm. There were very Star Trek moments, wasn't there? There was a lot of lessons and ethical debates and whole, do we save the fuel or do we save the person? Yeah. But the person died anyway. That was difficult.
But did you make the right choice still anyway?
I think they did.
I think so. I really like that. Yeah, I love all the moral stuff.
The red shirt guy.
That was cool.
But let's talk about that scene quickly about the robot walking off the cliff.
The cliff.
Wow. That was quite sad. That was very sad. That's the most emotional I felt about a robot since Wall-E, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I agree. It was an emotional moment. And I felt bad for Will because he had to take the responsibility and kill his friend.
With Dr. Robinson watching in the background.
Yeah.
She's horrible. Yeah, so I think that was pretty much everything. Anything else you want to... just rating. Yeah.
Really.
Two huge thumbs up for me.
Same. Two huge thumbs up. Would recommend it to anyone that likes sci-fi, like Star Trek style.
Very much Star Trek style. Martian.
Yeah. If you like that kind of sci-fi.
Spacey sci-fi.
Space sci-fi. Yeah.
You will enjoy this.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. So in this week's Hawk topic, I asked you guys on Twitter, we'll be reviewing Netflix Lost in Space. So for our Hawk topics, we'd like to know which robot you pick from TV/film to be your pet or protector. So Chris, do you want to go with your pick first?
Okay, so I was thinking, because I really like Stargate, so I was trying to think of something from there.
Well, that's not really any, is it?
No, I was thinking of the replicators.
Okay.
Because they're kind of robotic, I guess. And they have kind of like the lady that created them could control them, mm-hmm. and then she could, like, they would just destroy everything, but then you could build like really cool structures out of them.
Okay,
but then I was thinking they're kind of arachnid looking and they just freak me out.
Like spiders, so, do you?
I think I'd have to go with Data.
Good choice. Okay,
because you know, it's just that cool, like, android kind of guy,
but not Borg Data, right?
No, definitely not. You just want to have him around because, you know, if you ever need to, you know, if there's something, if you can't undo a jam jar, you know, he could do that. If you wanted to, like, we could both get jobs doing data entry or something, then you could just do it 10 minutes. He could do both of our jobs in 10 minutes, right. And we could just all go for lunch at the park.
Okay,
I don't know why we'd do that, but
if you want to relive Sherlock as well, then Data will
go
be
back
your
in time, in the holodeck. Yeah, I think that'd be my choice. What about you?
I was thinking, obviously, like, for a protector, you go for like Terminator. That's like your classic robot, isn't it? Yeah. But I have a very small part of my heart that goes to K2SO from Rogue One.
Okay,
he was just amazing. A very small part. Well, no, for robots, yes.
Yeah,
I thought Alan Tudyk was amazing. Tudyk.
Yes.
Okay. I thought he was great in the role. He was so sarcastic, but deep down, he really protected them right at the end. So yeah. I love K2SO. Screw you, BB-8.
I like BB-8 as well.
Yeah, okay, BB-8's cute, but he doesn't have the personality, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, what did some people say then?
Right, so on Twitter, we got the Ghost Rider podcast at Inner Demons DR said, well, a lot of my faves were already mentioned, T-800, etc. So I'll name something a little offbeat, Sunny from iRobot, also Alan Tudyk for the win. I love that film. I haven't watched that in ages.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in years. I wouldn't mind watching it again.
No, maybe that's something we can watch tonight.
Put that on the list.
Yeah. And actually, Alan Tudyk liked one of my tweets.
Yeah, that's cool. I replied
to that. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Geeky Nerd at One Geeky Nerd said, if cyborgs had been off limits, my choice would have been K2SO, if only because of its sarcasm. Also, Alan Tudyk for the win.
Win!
Woo!
So Bats at Ali HCNIHCA Lick. I'm sorry, I have no idea how to say that handle. They said, Bender, maybe a Dalek. And we had a really good Twitter conversation after that. Yeah. It's quite funny. So basically, I said, Dalek would be a good bet. Bender, however, would just smoke a cigar or say something sarcastic.
Yeah.
Matthew Fisher at Couch Potato said, Bender would annoy the Dalek so much they would probably retreat in a matter of minutes. And then I said, ha, and then fall down some stairs.
Yeah.
But then Ken Major replied saying, Dalek's been able to climb stairs since 1988.
Yeah. They provided the gift evidence.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then Matthew said, that's checkmate.
Yeah.
Nice. Great picks there.
Yeah. What else we got? 20th Century Geek Pod at 20th Century Geek said, choices. I'd go with OG Olympus Prime. Olympus
Shame
Prime.
On you.
OG Optimus Prime or Baymax.
Oh, Baymax is a good choice.
Yeah, he's quite cute. And also, you know, he could heal you.
That is true.
You know, if you had a heart attack or something, which is quite possible.
So Nerd Chatting, they put a gif of Data. So obviously went with you.
Yeah, woo!
Yeah, nice.
Okay, Ken Major, woo! Ken Major 83 said K9.
Of course.
Of course.
Definitely.
I mean, as pets go, it's the most Robotronic pet you're going to find, right?
Yes, because it's Ken, so it's Doctor Who.
Yeah. That's what Ken.
Lava Hog at Lava Hog from Party Pod said, ED209, just because he should ever turn on me, I'll be safe if I can find some stairs.
Yes, and then there's the GIF.
Nice.
It's the whole Dalek thing all over again.
Yeah.
James Carroll at IMJACS Musings. Mm-hmm. Jack's Musings, probably.
Yes.
Surely there's only one reprogrammed option. A boy's best friend is...
Terminator.
Yeah.
So Matthew Fisher at CouchPotato_MVP said The Iron Giant. Now, I remember this film. I remember it being very sad.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it, you know.
Okay, but obviously he was in Ready Player One lately, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, quite a lot of people commented on this and said it was actually a really great film.
Mm.
And they said they read the book, but they actually preferred the film. Wow, okay. That's the first. And the other entries were Yimion at Lurk_Alot said the android from Dark Matter, she's adorable, awkward, and badass. Antimatter's,
Don't know that one.
No, I've never watched Dark Matter. She comes up quite a lot, actually. She's quite a popular one, which is kind of a treat. Antimatter's at Ship Named Drake said, Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide, love me some sad and sarcastic robots. Got Ninja, T-Rude, and Funny OK. Interesting handle. At Vale Taja 5. I probably butchered that. I'm so sorry. The android from Dark Matter.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Jack and the Geekstalk. Said so Jack and the Geek was so Jack and the Geekstalk at Jack Geekstalk said deadly but a nice piece of eye candy too, the lady robot from like
Battlestar.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one, but I thought it was a bit too raunchy.
I see. Louis Ficou at Louis F2000 said canine.
Yep.
And last one was Simon Cook at Earl of Denby, who gave us the gif of the T-something thousand. Damn sure. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. the metallic one. Yeah, I've simply forgotten. but a lot of people actually quoted the tweet as well, and the majority of people actually came back with the one from Dark Matter. Okay. So I think overall winner will be the android from Dark Matter, which I've never seen, which I feel like I need to see now.
I feel like I watched one or two episodes, but I didn't keep up with it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I remember a robot android thing. So.
Very intriguing.
Yeah.
But other ones of mentionable note. What?
Of notable mention.
Notable mention. That no. is the one.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Roy Batty from Blade Runner.
I think of mention or of note would work.
No, okay. I think notable mention. Yeah, I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway, yeah.
Sure.
So Roy Batty from Blade Runner. We got R2-D2 from Star Wars.
Of course.
T-800 from Terminator, obviously. Bishop from Aliens. I've completely forgot about that one.
That's true.
I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, good pick.
Is he a cyborg?
I think so.
Might be a cyborg.
Hmm.
Does that count?
That counts. You picked Data, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's...
Oh,
he's like,
an android. Oh, this is completely very confusing.
Which is just a human robot, right?
Right.
I did look this up.
Yeah, I don't
sure.
know. Ash from Alien as well.
Okay.
We've got Robocop,
yeah.
which no one says, surprisingly.
He's like a cyborg.
Yeah. Sure. C-3PO, Star Wars.
Yeah, all good choices, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in. Let's do this.
Mechagodzilla, that's another one for you. Jaegers from Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
Rachel.
You need two people to do one of those.
No, that is true. Wall-E.
Wall-E.
And the Borg from Star Trek. Do they count?
That's cold.
Yeah.
What do you want those guys for?
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the main ones. Yeah.
I mean, that's solid selection
yes.
there.
Yes, indeed.
Let's do it, guys.
So thank you once again for everyone that took part. Really enjoy these Twitter interactions. So look out for our next one. I'm not sure what we'll be talking about yet, but if you just look on our Twitter page, we'll let you know.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome, Sir Darius Blaine, aka Fridge from Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle. Congratulations on the phenomenal success of the film and the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. And
Thank you so much.
How has it all been? It's been mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's been insane. Thank you so much, first of all. We were blindsided by the success of the movie, of course. We had no idea it was going to do this well. When I first read the script, I knew it was great, but again, you know, we're limited to our opinions, you know, versus what public perception is. So It was just great to know that it was received so well and that it's still doing so well, even after the DVD release. You know, we just released in Japan last week and have been doing great numbers over there and inching towards a billion. So I'm just phenomenally excited and relieved overall.
So how did you originally get involved with the project?
I got an audition for it in, July of 2016. And originally, I didn't think that I had a shot at it at all because, you know, the character's supposed to be 17 going on 18, and I'm not quite that young anymore. So I didn't think I had a shot at all. But went ahead and went to one of my favorite casting offices in LA. And so I went ahead and went to the audition. You know, we did it about three different ways, and they had been trying to cast a role for almost a year, apparently.
Wow.
I knew a few people who had been involved, and I did it like three or four times, and then I got a call 3 weeks later that I had booked it, but at the time I had already booked another movie, which I was debating whether I wanted to take or not.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of the perfect storm, you know. I got the call about Jumanji, and, you know, of course that was a no-brainer. At first, though, when they called me and told me that I booked it, I was like, wait, are you sure? You know, I was like, wait, me?
Yeah.
So, they were like, yeah, you're going to Hawaii in 3 weeks. And so, you know, the rest was history. We went out and did the table read in Hawaii and met the cast and producers. And, you know,
so,
here we are.
Yeah. Were you fan of the original film at all?
Of course I saw it. Of course. I was a huge fan of it. Robin Williams is part of the reason I'm an actor today. The first movie I ever memorized line by line was Hook. So anything Robin Williams was my favorite, from Hook to Jack to, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire. And then, of course, Jumanji, which at the time was like kind of a creepy film for kids. But it was, you know, instant classic as well. I mean, just imagine finding a lion in your kitchen. You know, so that was... it was definitely one of those movies that kind of shapes your childhood. That, you know, The Sandlot, you know, stuff like that. So it was a great time for movies, and I was a huge fan of it.
Yeah. So how did you and Kevin Hart, like, approach the shared role?
Kevin and I didn't really discuss the role too much. I think we kind of knew the task at hand already. Everybody kind of knew that we had to find similarities in each other's characters so that it translated, you know, that, you know, he was this giant football player once he gets sucked into the video game. So I think we kind of studied each other's mannerisms and stuff like that. Kevin's a huge character in real life. You know, he's just got a lot of bravado. He fills a room. So I just made sure that I remained as big as possible. You know, I'm almost 6'5", so wasn't really hard to be big. But Kevin's got a lot of personality. So I was just trying to kind of find similarities and vocal tone and body movements and stuff like that, and just kind of take his lead because they started shooting before we did. So it's kind of what we did. And we chatted about it a little bit, but I'm more of a watcher than anything. So I just watched him and kind of tried to mimic some of his body movements without being too on the nose about it, you know?
Yeah. So would you say your weakness really is cake or...
I'm not gonna lie. My weakness definitely is cake. I'm sitting here at breakfast with my girlfriend right now, eating pancakes like I shouldn't be. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sweets, period.
So you had an amazing cast. So do you have any funny stories from set you can tell us about?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. No. Well, you can actually probably see this on Kevin and Dwayne's Instagram, but there was a time where they had to do like a full company move in the jungle. We were shooting in Diamond Head in Hawaii, and like just north of Honolulu, and we had to do a full company move where basically everyone from behind the scenes and all the actors and everything had to move about 50 yards away to do a new setup for a new scene. And Kevin was walking to the next set, and DJ gets in, you know, gets his driver to come over and drive him over. And while he's doing it, he's basically making fun of Kevin for being a peasant as he rolls alongside him and offers him, you know, food for the poor, basically. It was pretty hilarious. But they were constantly ribbing on each other and stuff like that. Even in the scene in the marketplace, just before Kevin blows up, you know, with the cake and everything like that. They're constantly like finding ways to rib on each other, pull each other's pants down and stuff like that. So it's pretty hilarious. And I think just through working together so much, they've learned each other's personalities so much. Like, there's certain things that Kevin can say to Dwayne that you, like, the average person cannot say to him, you know, because they have, you know, such a deep relationship. But they make fun of each other all the time, and it's kind of hilarious just to be a fly on the wall. You know?
Yeah. So if Sony ever did a sequel to Welcome to the Jungle, would you be up for playing Fridge again?
Heck yeah. See you later, refrigerator. I'm all in that thing. I would love to. I mean, you know, movies are interesting. It's not always what you think is going to happen. So I'm trying not to, you know, focus on the next Jumanji too much, because I'm still enjoying the success of the first one. So if they did ask me back, I would be there with bells and whistles on. I would move mountains to do it, because I had such a great time working with Jake Kasdan, Scott Pinker, and Jeff Pinker, and, you know, Matt Tolmack, all these really great creatives who let you do your thing. But, you know, fingers crossed, you know, I would love to be in it. But, you know, we'll see. That remains to be seen.
So moving on to your next project, Charmed, another reboot. Can you tell us anything about your character in that reboot at all?
Yeah. Well, I'm currently in Vancouver right now shooting Charmed. And I'm trying not to, like, give any spoilers, but I may or may not have a crush on one of the main witches, and we may or may not begin dating, and we may or may not work together at the university. That's all I can really say, but it's a fresh take on the original Charmed, where we've got three sisters who discover that they have powers and are basically meant to save mankind from all the demons that kind of lurk among us. And I play a close friend and confidant to them as well. That's about all I can say without, like, giving away the storyline. But
yeah,
they just actually took us into a meeting yesterday to make sure that we don't spoil anything. So we have very strict guidelines, but definitely tune in when that thing comes out.
Definitely. So, because you've starred in a couple of reboots, if you could pick a dream film or TV show to reboot and star in, what would you pick?
Would you like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air really shaped me, you know, as a young man. I loved Will Smith, and he is the main reason I'm an actor. So something like that, I would love to, that, Enemy of the State was, like, one of my favorites. They're rebooting Men in Black right now. So, like, I love silly, fun, action, kind of comedies, stuff like that. That would be great. Or Glory, which was, like, the first movie to ever make me cry. So I know I went, like, super dark there, but yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to do something like that if I had my choice of reboot.
Going back to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, if you would star in that, I mean, do you know the rap off by heart?
Of course, in West Philadelphia, born and raised. On a playground, was what I'm saying. Most of my days, chilling out next and relaxing, all cool, and all shooting some b-ball outside of the school with a couple of guys. So it's no good. You get the point. We got the whole thing down.
Nice.
You know that thing, like the back of my hand.
Yeah. It's like you practiced or something.
Here and there, you know, never know when duty won't call.
So, last one. Are you working on anything else at the moment that we can look forward to seeing you in, other than Charmed?
Well, I have a film coming out in September called The Last Full Measure with Samuel L. Jackson, which I'm tremendously proud of. Really, really excited about it. It's Christopher Plummer, Ed Harris, Sebastian Stan. I mean, there's Emmy and Oscar nominees and winners galore throughout that entire thing. So Golden Globe winners as well. So really, really excited for everyone to see that. It is a recount of the bloodiest day in the Vietnam War in 1966, where William Pitzenbarger, who was a Air Force medic, comes down and saves about 66 men from the jungle. You know, they get surrounded in the kill sack, and he saves all their lives and sacrifices his own. So we're trying to get him a posthumous Medal of Honor 34 years later. It's based on a true story. And you know, with the current climate, with, you know, the heroism that we're seeing from all our soldiers and you know, men and women in the military who are literally laying down their lives for our freedoms, it's a poignant piece, and it's going to be something that I think people can relate to. And it's something that I just had a great time making and, you know, delving into this character and really trying to get in the head of what these guys must have to go through on a daily basis. And it left me a tremendous amount of more respect than I already had for them, you know, and what they have to face. So Last Full Measure, we're going to be premiering at Toronto Film Festival in September, and I can't wait for the world to see it.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. So, where can everyone find you on social media if they want to find out any of your upcoming work?
At Sedarius Blaine on Instagram and Twitter. I always try to respond to people. I run it myself, whereas there's nobody, there's no like big Wizard of Oz behind a curtain running it for me. So I'm very interactive with Instagram and Twitter and Facebook even. So yeah, at Sedarius Blaine.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That's all right. We look forward to seeing you in Charmed.
Thank you so much. Thank you, love.
So thanks so much for listening, guys. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to let us know what your favourite robots were, and what you thought of Lost in Space, then how do they go about contacting us then, Chris?
So you can contact us on Twitter, which is where we're most active, which is /WeHaveAHulkPod. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, /WeHaveAHulkPod as well.
Yep.
And we're on YouTube, /WeHaveAHulk. You can also email us, WeHaveAHulkPod@gmail.com, if you have any stories that you would like us to read out on our podcast. Thank you very much.
Well done. That was really good.
I had to do the whole arm thing. For some reason, moving my arm around.
It helps.
My arm around. Oh God.
we need food.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to read any reviews or news, just go to our website, lbevahawk.co.uk.
Yes.
Yes. So next week is going to be the big one. It will be Avengers Infinity War review.
I'm excited.
I'm excited, also but also terrified. Yeah, exactly.
Damn. Well, you know, it's going to be a thing.
It's going to happen anyway. Yeah. We can't stop it
we can't
from happening.
It now. It's out of our hands. So yes. All you can do is watch it, hopefully enjoy it, and review it.
Yes.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll see you next week for our Avengers Infinity War review. And hopefully we've got a big interview coming up as well, which I'm not going to spoil because it might not happen. But I think it will do. So that's pretty exciting. So yes, once again, thank you so much for listening. Let us know your predictions for Infinity War before we go and see it.
Yes. Where is the Soul Stone?
Yes, that is the big one. Heimdall?
Clearly Heimdall.
Or
right?
Black Panther somewhere in Wakanda?
Yeah, that's Heimdall.
Who knows?
Come on, guys.
So once again, thank you so much for listening and I hope to see you next time.
Bye!